Habakkuk chapter 1 and verses 1 through 11. Hear God's word. The oracle which Habakkuk the prophet saw. How long, O Lord, will I call for help, and you will not hear? I cry out to you, violence, yet you do not save. Why do you make me see iniquity and cause me to look on wickedness? Yes, destruction and violence are before me. Strife exists and contention arises. Therefore, the law is ignored and justice is never upheld. For the wicked surround the righteous. Therefore, justice comes out perverted. Look among the nations, observe, be astounded, wonder, because I am doing something in your days. You would not believe if you were told. For behold, I am raising up the Chaldeans, that fierce and impetuous people who march through the earth to seize dwelling places which are not theirs. They are dreaded and fearful. Their justice and authority originate with themselves. Their horses are swifter than leopards and keener than wolves in the evening. Their horsemen come galloping. Their horsemen come from afar. They fly like an eagle swooping down to devour. All of them come for violence. Their horde of faces moves forward. They collect captives like sand. They mock at kings, and rulers are a laughing matter to them. They laugh at every fortress and heap up rubble to capture it. Then they will sweep through like the wind and pass on. But they will be held guilty, they whose strength is their God. Let's pray together. Father, again, we thank you for your word. We thank you for both the Old Testament and the New Testament. We thank you that we can learn from the Old Testament church because you deal with that Old Testament church as you deal with us and deal with us as you've dealt with that Old Testament church. And as we have occasion this morning, Father, to begin to look into this short prophecy, this vision of Habakkuk, we pray that you might enlighten our eyes and give us grace to understand your word, and that we might have it applied to our hearts, that we might better live for you, that we might understand our station in this life and have a divine perspective on the landscape of this nation as there are difficulties that face us. Give us grace and hope, therefore, Father, and bless us as we do now look into your word. We pray in the good name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. The text is Habakkuk chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. March Madness is here. Have you filled out any brackets yet? We've had brackets on our coffee table that we've been filling out. When you look at those brackets, on those sheets of paper, they're two-dimensional, aren't they? And yet you see opposing teams that are coming together in those brackets. But yet they're two-dimensional. When you look at the landscape of our nation today, there are also forces at work, and sometimes opposing forces. A couple of them are the economy on one hand, and spiritual decline on the other hand. And we can look at those forces, if you will, in a two-dimensional way. And I think often as Christians, we tend to do this. We look at the forces that are at work in our nation, the economy on one hand and spiritual decline on the other, if you will, in a two-dimensional way, like we'd look at those basketball brackets. And we want to know who's going to win out. And we hope that we will win out as the struggle ensues. But I would submit to you that we need to get up off the printed page. We need to begin to have some perspective that comes from above the printed page. We need to have some divine perspective on what is taking place in the landscape of our culture. And I've mentioned specifically the economy and spiritual decline. And of course, in Habakkuk's day, Habakkuk was faced with the same kind of situation. There was tremendous spiritual decay, and there were economic difficulties. Both of these things were playing very high in the minds of the people. Habakkuk needed some divine perspective. And God is giving Habakkuk some divine perspective. Habakkuk was complaining a little bit. And I suppose you might be complaining a little bit about the economic situation and the cultural situation. So there are some similarities between us and Habakkuk here. You need some divine perspective, and I need some divine perspective, and Habakkuk is going to be given some divine perspective with regard to his complaint. He's a little impatient. And God, in the end, is saying to Habakkuk, and he's saying to you and to me, yes, evil will be judged in my time and in my way. You need to pray, and you need to be patient. And that's the message we have this morning. Pray and be patient. God will judge evil in his way at his time. And we need to understand that this is the case. This gives us, I think, a little divine perspective on our situation. Judah, you see, was a very wicked people. And God seems to be silent with regard to this wickedness. Look, for example, at verse 4 in Habakkuk 1. Therefore, the law is ignored. The New American Standard Version says, the English Standard Version says, paralyzed. The just and justice is never upheld, for the wicked surround the righteous. Therefore, justice comes out perverted. Because people weren't following the law. Because they ignored the law. They ignored the law of the land, and they ignored the law of God. It seemed as though the law was paralyzed, that it could do nothing. And of course, it was paralyzed because of the hearts of the people in Judah. And good old USA is not unlike ancient Judah. All we have to do is look around just a little bit. And it is rather astounding, isn't it, that a lot of people just don't pay their taxes. Well, what's up with that? That's one thing. But when the chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee, who is in charge of levying taxes, doesn't pay his taxes, there's something amiss. And when the Secretary of Treasury, who hasn't paid his taxes in the past and hasn't paid them because, well, the time has elapsed, and so he doesn't have to go back and pick them up, and then he gets before the American public and says, well, I'm going to come down hard on people who haven't paid their taxes. There's something amiss. And we recognize that this is the case. Judah was not unlike this kind of a situation. The law was ignored. Not only the law of the land, but the law of God was ignored. Therefore, justice wasn't upheld. And it seemed like the wicked surrounded the righteous. And we might have that sense of things sometimes. Look at verse 1. The oracle which Habakkuk the prophet saw. How long, O Lord, will I call for help, and you will not hear? I cry to you, violence, yet you do not save. Are you silent, Lord? Don't you see what's going on? How the wicked are having their way? And violence is throughout the land? In certain parts of our own city, the greater Pittsburgh area, every day violent acts are perpetrated. Do you not see, Lord? Do you not hear? Do you remain silent in the face of all of this? Well, Habakkuk was asking the same question. How long, O Lord? And one of the interesting things about this little prophecy of Habakkuk is that it's different than some of the other prophets in that Habakkuk is crying out in a personal way to God. Habakkuk is not so much indicting the culture and indicting the society, but he's calling out in a personal way to God. And it seems that Habakkuk is a little impatient with the situation as he sees it unfolding around him. And so we see verse 3. Why do you make me see iniquity and cause me to look on wickedness? Yes, destruction and violence are before me. Strife exists and contention. And the commentators recognize that this is what they call Habakkuk's first complaint. He has some other things to complain about, but this is his first complaint. It resonates with you and me, does it not? You see, I think about, in this economic situation, which has been brought about in large measure, as you know, by these mortgages that were made to people who couldn't pay. And now, the government has said, okay, even if people lied on their applications and signed the application saying, everything I've said on the application is absolutely true, the government has come along and said, well, we'll help those people, even though they lied in order to get their loans. Something is amiss when people perjure themselves in this way. You know this and I know this. And so we could complain and be like Habakkuk. Why do you make me see iniquity and cause me to look on wickedness? You see, it's not just wickedness in the common everyday life with your neighbor, but it's wickedness in the highest places of government. Why do you cause me to look on wickedness? Yes, destruction and violence are before me. Strife exists and contention arises. All this talk about bipartisanship. Yeah, we do laugh. Contention exists. Well, in Habakkuk's day, while all of this is going on in Judah, and Habakkuk is complaining, the Babylonian Empire is beginning to rise from the dust and to become great. And if you think about a map of the Middle East, the Mediterranean over here, and modern Iran over here, and ancient Babylon is in this same area, Here comes Nabopolassar, the father of Nebuchadnezzar, and he takes over the city of Babylon. And then he goes north a little ways, and he crushes the Assyrian army in Nineveh. And he begins to chase the Assyrian army up the Euphrates Valley and across the Fertile Crescent. And the Assyrian army takes refuge in a city called Carchemish. And the Egyptian army comes up thinking, we're going to help the Assyrians, and the Babylonian hordes are coming. And at this fortress at Carchemish, the Babylonians crush the Assyrian army, and they crush the Egyptian army, and the Egyptian army flees back south into Egypt, and the Assyrian Empire is no more. And Babylon comes into its own. This is between 600 and 605 B.C. And now Babylon can come south, right into Jerusalem. And Nebuchadnezzar does. And he takes captives. And he takes Daniel back to Babylon. All this is on the horizon and beginning to take place as Habakkuk utters this complaint. You know, one of the things that's happening in our world today is the rise of Islam. It's one of the fastest growing religions in the world. Almost 20% of the world's population is Muslim. While we are aborting babies by the millions, and our population, and you should realize, the population in Europe is declining. The Muslim world is propagating itself, and Islam is on the move. And some sources say that in Europe, the Muslim population may double by 2015. And of course, you know that there are radicals involved with this religion. Radicals. And they're very wicked people, these radicals. So maybe there's some similarity between Habakkuk and our time. Along this line also. Well, back to Habakkuk now. Habakkuk does note that the Babylonians are very wicked. Look with me at verses 7 and following in Habakkuk 1. They are dreaded and feared, these Babylonians. Their justice and authority originate with themselves. They are a law to themselves, and they pride themselves in this. It's like this, my way or the highway. You get out of my way. And they had the muscle to do it. Their horses are swifter than leopards and keener than wolves in the evening. Their horsemen come galloping. Their horsemen come from afar like an eagle swooping down to devour. Here come the Babylonian hordes, the armies. And in modern warfare, you can think of the armored vehicles coming. So that in the dust, you couldn't see the end of them. And their very presence was evoking great fear because of what they'd already done. They'd decimated the Assyrians. They'd sent the Egyptians fleeing. Here they come. All of them come for violence. Their horde of faces moves forward. They collect captives like sand. They throw out the dragnet and they pull in the captives and they haul them away to another nation. This was the tactic of the Babylonians. They would deport massive numbers of people from one area to another to demoralize populations in order that they would not rise up against them. They mock at kings. And rulers are a laughing matter to them. You think you're going to stand up against us? Come out and give it a try. This was the manner of their approach to the rulers of other nations. They laugh at every fortress and heap up rubble to capture it. Do you think Jerusalem is going to stand? They laugh. They heap up their battering rams and their inclines and go against the city. It is of no consequence to them. This is what the text is telling us. Then they will sweep through like the wind and pass on. And then there's a note, just a short note at this point in Habakkuk. But they will be held guilty. They whose strength is their God. God is up to something. God is up to something big. You see, as the Babylonians were very wicked in their day, Let's go back to radical Islam again. Very wicked. You remember the name Mas'ab Abu al-Zakari? You remember that name? He was killed in Iraq in a bombing raid. He's a wicked man. Without compunction, cutting the heads off of innocent people and laughing about it, making videos about it and dispersing the videos. Wickedness. And of course, most of us remember Saddam Hussein. Equally wicked. And when the graves were exhumed, the mass graves, there were pictures taken of mothers holding their infants as they were killed. It's not a pretty picture. But it is reality. And astonishingly, God says to Habakkuk, you've been complaining about the evil and the violence and the wickedness of Judah. I'm going to send the wicked Babylonians against Judah. Verse 5. Look among the nations, observe, be astonished, wonder, because I am doing something in your days. You would not believe it if you were told. For behold, I am raising up the Chaldeans, that fierce and impetuous people who march throughout the earth to seize dwelling places which are not theirs. God says, these Babylonians that have just come into power, I've raised them up. and I've raised them up for this purpose, Habakkuk, to send them as my hand of judgment against the wickedness about which you are complaining. I've raised them up for this purpose. I can imagine Habakkuk just staggering back at the thought of that. That was God's plan. That was God's purpose. And this is why the text says, look among the nations, observe, be astonished, wonder, because I am doing something in your days you would not believe if you were told. And it is a staggering thought. And Habakkuk comes back later, and we'll be looking at this. Habakkuk comes back later and he says, Lord, why in the world are you sending a more wicked people against Judah to judge Judah? A people which is much more wicked. That's Habakkuk's second complaint. Beware of what you ask for. And so, we need to take heed. You see, I think this is where we come down to the lesson for us today. We need to take heed. We need to be patient. We need to pray. You need to be patient. I need to be patient. I need to pray. You need to pray. You see, God will judge evil. He will. He's not blind. He will judge evil in His time and in His way. When we look at the rise of Islam in the world today, a very wicked movement, because Islam is not at all interested in Christianity. Islam would like to wipe Christianity off the face of the earth. They are a movement, they represent a movement which is opposed to Christ. Opposed to the exalted Jesus Christ, who died on a cross to pay the penalty for the sins of people like them. And He rose again from the grave and He ascended on high. And He does sit as King of kings and Lord of lords. This is His plan, His purpose that is being worked out in the book of Habakkuk. And this is part of what Habakkuk needs to understand. He needs to be patient. He needs to pray. You see, the question, how long, really is answered for Habakkuk. And it's answered for you and me. Go back to Psalm 13, if you would, in your Bibles. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? It's as though God is not seeing David's difficulties. But then at the end of the psalm again, but I have trusted in your loving kindness, Lord. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because He has dealt bountifully with me. Even in the midst of economic and spiritual turmoil, David makes the confession, I'll trust you, Lord. I do have a complaint, but I have to step back and say, I trust you, Lord. I need to pray, you need to pray, I need to be patient, you need to be patient. God will judge in His time and in His way. Look at Revelation again. Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6 and verse 9. When the Lamb broke the fifth seal, I saw underneath the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God and because of the testimony which they had maintained. The book of Revelation is a vision. And you may remember that I've said this before. Visions are pictures of reality, not the reality itself. And so this is a picture of people who have a testimony for Jesus Christ, who are covered by the blood of Christ. You see, there are souls under the altar. They're people like us. And they cry out with a loud voice saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, will you refrain from judging and avenging our blood on those who dwell in the earth? How long will it be before judgment comes?" And verse 11 says, "And there was given to them, given to each of them a white robe, and they were told that they should rest for a little while longer until the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who were killed even as they had been would be completed also." In other words, be patient, take your rest until all the elect have been brought in, then judgment will come. Then God will send His Son, Jesus Christ, into the world for a second time, and the judgment will come. But be patient. Take your rest. Pray. God will judge in His time and in His way. And it seems to me that this is the lesson which is before us this morning. In 1857, there was, in this country, a very great economic downturn. In New York City, 30,000 people in that year were unemployed. This was quite a while ago, so the population wasn't quite what it is today. 30,000 were unemployed. A man by the name of Jeremy Lampier, who was a businessman in New York, said, "This is an opportunity to pray." And so he decided on the 1st of July of that year to have a prayer meeting. Only a couple of men came, but they prayed. But that prayer meeting grew. And tens of thousands of people came to Christ as a result of that prayer meeting. In this economic downturn. And as an article I just read about this says, maybe the situation in our country today is an opportunity to pray, to be patient, and to pray, to understand that God will judge evil and wickedness in His time and in His way. But maybe today is the day to pray, to be patient, not to complain like Habakkuk complained. Not to complain like we are wont to complain often. Maybe it's a time, friends, to be patient and to pray and to recognize God will judge in His way at His time. And so, as we together look at the landscape of our land, and this economic situation, and yes, spiritual difficulty that is in the land, spiritual decline. The statistics are there. We could be like Habakkuk in this text and complain. But I submit to you, as Habakkuk learns from this text, or from God, as he wrestles through his situation, it's perhaps a time to pray and to be patient and to understand God will judge evil in His time and in His way. So that's my encouragement for you this morning. Be patient. Pray. And have divine perspective on our land and our world.
God will take care of evil. Our place is to be patient and to pray. God will judge evil in His time and in His way. Let's pray together now. Lord, thanks even for this little book of Habakkuk. Difficult words that come through the prophet. But we often find ourselves in his shoes. And so as we look at his words, may we learn from him. And may we have perspective on our world and on our land. Yes, we do complain, Father. Forgive us where we do so and do you an injustice and do others an injustice. Help us to have a divine perspective on things, to get up off the printed page and to be able to look at what you're up to and give you thanks for this. And at this time, may it be that we'll be patient and pray and understand that you'll judge evil in your time and in your way. Thank you for this perspective, Father, and grant us your grace. In understanding it, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.